listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard will be back on Monday. It's time now for this week's Food Friday. Every year since 1985, people have marked the Great American Meat Out on the first day of spring. The event, promoted by animal rights groups and environmental awareness groups, encourages people to give up meat products for one day. Just something about a meatless meal, though, that leaves some people wanting more. So, resident foodie Lori Skelton took the challenge to try to find meatless recipes that appeal to the non-vegetarians. Lori, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here. Hello.
So, how often do you go, without meat? I'll go meatless day every now and then.
I'll do it at least once a week. Mm-hmm. I had a 2.5-year period in my life where I was completely vegetarian. But I did end that one morning, literally, when I sat up in bed and said, I want a hamburger. There was just something about my body that was craving animal protein. But in general, I don't mind going meatless. It's not, I guess one of the trendy words right now is flexitarian, and I guess that's where I fall into. I'll eat just about anything, or can leave just about anything off my plate as need be.
Now, I'm sure listening right now, there's a whole range from haven't eaten an animal product in decades to don't want a meal if there isn't some meat in it and all points in between. Let's start at that second end. Why do you think people sometimes are reluctant to have that meatless dinner?
I asked this of people face-to-face. I posted it several times on my Facebook page. What it seems to come down to is bland, poor quality food, poorly prepared. The phrase brown rice mush was mentioned on several occasions. One of my favorite food writers, Tamar Adler, has this to say about poorly prepared vegetarian food. Prior experience is very much like deciding you don't like Bach after having heard the Goldberg variations played on kazoo. And she has a point. If your experience with vegetarian cooking was throw vegetables in a pot and boil the dickens out of them and then serve them on rice that was unseasoned and, again, boiled beyond recognition, I could understand why you would have a visceral reaction to where's the beef? Mm-hmm. And yet we're finding out more and more that vegetarian cooking is fun and exciting, and it definitely lends itself to robust flavors that meat sometimes gets in the way of.
Interesting. So I would imagine one thing people might miss, meat, cooking with meat, even just a little bit of it, can add some flavor and some body and depth to a meal. It adds texture, certainly. And that's, somewhat you're trying to go for this week. For people who are going to miss those things, how do we replace that? So let's talk about that texture first.
One of the things that we tend to forget is that roasted vegetables are things that can be made in a great quantity and used over a period of days. A lot of people think that if you're going to have something with roasted vegetables in it, it has to be used immediately. If you go to the farmer's market or there's a great sale on a particular type of produce at your local supermarket, go ahead and buy a little extra, toss it with some olive oil, roast it, and then put what you don't eat aside, and you can fold that into other recipes, whether it's using it as filling for an omelet or even the simplest thing of taking your standard recipe with meat, cutting the meat in half and just adding more of those roasted vegetables. That's one of the easiest ways to take care of the texture, the bulk, the robust issue.
That's brilliant, and this is something I've done accidentally all the time. I roast veggies a lot in the oven or saute them in a cast iron pan, and then sometimes we have leftovers. I'm like, oh, I'll use up that zucchini in with some eggs or something like that. So what are the vegetables? Zucchini I just mentioned, and that's going to be coming up in your lasagna in just a
minute. Zucchini is a good one. We tend to forget that vegetables do have some residual sugar in, and roasting is going to bring that out. And there you won't need a great deal of added fat. I know one of the things that people do miss with animal protein sometimes is just that lovely feeling of having something coating your tongue, fat, and not always easily replaced with dairy or butter or olive oil. And so you've got these wonderful roasted vegetables that taste like they're dripping with oil, but mm-hmm. they don't have to be.
Yeah, so zucchini, eggplant, carrots? Carrots
are wonderful roasted. I roasted broccoli for my vegetable lasagna. Squash, believe it or not, we tend to think of squash being roasted in halves, mm-hmm. but if you chop that up into smaller pieces and toss it with thyme, for instance, that makes a wonderful thing to add in. Any kind of onion or garlic roasted is going to be amazing. So if you've got that in your refrigerator, two other things that I found out in preparing for this week's show, if you make rice, make extra. Rice will freeze for 6 months. So if if you can just pull out rice really quick and add fun stuff to it, add your roasted vegetables, add some sriracha, add some lime juice or just interesting sauces, that's a way to get started. Same thing with beans. If you go to the trouble of cooking down your own beans, double the batch, and then store the beans in your refrigerator in the liquid in which you cooked them. Mm-hmm. Then as you use the beans, take them out of the liquid. Save the liquid because that wonderful bean broth makes a great base for stock. It makes a great non-meat way to thicken a sauce, or not thicken, but to flavor a sauce. Mm-hmm. You end up having all of this great stuff on reserve that you can just pull and improvise as need be.
Why am I not taking notes here? Okay, there's a lot of good ideas I'm going to try maybe this weekend already. Well, we've teased it a little bit already. Let's get into the recipe you brought in earlier today, actually, your roasted vegetable lasagna. Oh, and before I let you tell us about it, I'll point out that it is on our Central Time Facebook page. Make it this weekend. Let us know how it went. Tell us about it, Lori.
I was asking, as I said, give me your suggestions for meals where nobody misses the meat. Mm-hmm. And somebody pointed out to me one of the writers on the Well blog and the New York Times. Her name is Martha Rose Schulman. She had several recipes for vegetarian lasagnas, and I took a look at them, and I ended up pulling bits from each one to create what I'm calling the meat out lasagna. She uses porcini mushrooms, dried porcinis that she's reconstituted and then hangs on to the mushroom water. She'll have some ricotta cheese, and then what I did was roast broccoli and zucchini, and then I took the reconstituted porcini with some fresh crimini mushrooms, sauteed those in a little bit of olive oil just to start releasing their juices. Once that happened, I cranked up the heat under the skillet, added some liquid amino. You could use soy sauce if you want a sharper taste. Some dry white wine, and the rest of that mushroom liquid. Mm. Turn up the heat like that, and the liquid boils away from the mushrooms. It ends up glazing them. So I took no-boil lasagna noodles and just a basic marinara. You could get creative with the tomato sauce if you wanted, roast the tomatoes if you want, add extra herbs if you want, add peppers if you want. But here I just started layering little bit of tomato, little bit of ricotta, and half of the Parmesan cheese that Martha Rose Schulman originally asked for. And I ended up with a lasagna that was light in texture, except you still had chunks of vegetables mm-hmm. that had a great deal of flavor. So I've had some vegetarian lasagnas where so much cheese is packed in, it feels like you're eating a dripping brick. This still had a light feel to it, but it wasn't insubstantial. It had really good mouthfeel without needing 2 tons of mozzarella.
And a place where I think I've gone wrong, I don't think I've made veggie lasagna, but other people have gone wrong and I've suffered the consequences, is putting the veggies in raw in the lasagna. And you get, I don't know, the texture isn't great, there's too much liquid. So the key is roasting the veggies first.
I think you do have to do some kind of cooking with the vegetables first. Most of the people really commented on the roasted broccoli in this. The comments I got today, the veggies were still very much intact. I loved how savory they were. This really took the place of meat with that substantial, chewy texture. Vegetable flavors and consistency were really nice. Mm-hmm. Texture and flavor of the again, we keep coming back to how does it feel in your mouth? And so roasting the broccoli as opposed to steaming it, which of course is going to turn it into mush again. Same thing with the zucchini. You've got just enough caramelization to give it some interest without completely drying it out. With the mushrooms, you played off of the fact that they can be pretty liquid, and you just use that liquid to its advantage while cooking it.
We're talking with WPR's Lori Skelton about vegetarian recipes you can try if you want to give up meat for a day or two. We've got one of them, that lasagna we've been talking about, on the Central Time Facebook page. And we want to hear from you now. Are vegetarian entrees a part of your meal mix? If you avoid meatless entrees, what do you think that you'd miss? What would it take to get you to try something a little different? What meatless recipes do you really like, or do you have questions? Need some advice from Lori? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our Food Friday discussion about vegetarian cooking, vegetarian entrees with Lori Skelton, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite meat-free, favorite vegetarian, or even vegan recipe? Do you have a tip or maybe a question? Need some advice from Lori? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Lynn tweeted us at Central Time WPR, take pity on us non-cooks, please. Tell us how to properly roast vegetables. Well, I've got good news, Lynn. It's so easy, even I can do it and have it come out pretty good. But Lori, what give us the basics.
The basics are, for every pound of vegetables you're roasting, tablespoon of olive oil. I would cut my vegetables up into pieces 1 to 2 inches, roughly square. It doesn't have to be exact. I wouldn't want to go any smaller, however. And bigger, it would work with some recipes, but let's just say 1 to 2 inch pieces. For every pound of veggies, toss with a tablespoon of olive oil, spread it out on a sheet pan. Here's the trick. Hot oven, right, Rob?
Yeah.
For today's lasagna, I did the broccoli and zucchini at 450 degrees for 15 minutes. Halfway through the roasting pan, I got the spatula out, flipped them over.
Yeah.
You do want to flip them over so that they get evenly browned on all sides. It is a great question. You know, go to the basics. What are the basics? Mm. And I'm not saying that you may not want to tweak that for a certain vegetable, or you may want to go lower and slower for vegetables that are a little more watery. I know if you're going to roast tomatoes, go the opposite. Go 200 degrees for like 3 hours, and you will get some amazing roasted tomatoes that way. But for the most part, 15 minutes in a really hot oven is all you need.
And the fun part is playing with the spice mixes. I've tried a lot of different combos, and most of them seem to work out.
What's your favorite?
Little garlic or garlic salt if I want it salty. A pepper, paprika is my drug of choice when it comes to cooking. I've got some spice mixes from the spice company in Milwaukee. Can't think of the name of it.
The Spice House.
Yes. Get a mix. It's hard to go wrong.
Absolutely. My favorite thing to work with roasting vegetables is thyme, the herb. But you can also play around with rosemary or savory. Those are also good ones that work with marjoram occasionally. That can sometimes be a little bit sharp. But I'd say just don't even use salt. Just start with the olive oil and the veggies. See what they taste like and then experiment from there.
Great idea. All right, let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. We've got Morgan on the line in Milwaukee. Morgan, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to share a vegetarian recipe that I started out and really helped me with transitioning from being a carnivore to lesser of that. Because what I missed when I became vegetarian was just the heartiness. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you all were mentioning before, like not having that fat, because I would never feel like I was filled. So what I love doing is lentil tacos, and I still make it for all of my meat eater friends out there when they come over. And it's just start with your pan of lentils, and during the sauteing process, the simmering process, I like to throw some root vegetables in there. So I like to throw some carrots, some broccoli, maybe some cauliflower. And as the lentils are simmering, and they're simmering in just whatever taco seasoning you use, or you could do fajita seasoning if you want, the root vegetables will get nice and soft as well. And so you have this really great, heavy, hearty filling for a vegetarian taco.
Morgan, I got to ask, I could imagine a lot of meat eaters saying, lentils, that's exactly what we hate and fear in vegetarian cooking. Your meat-eating friends go for it, though?
So many of my meat-eating friends haven't even heard of what a lentil is.
Mm-hmm.
I have to explain it to them. And once I do, they have to keep an open mind. But the ones that do, they love it. They think it's great. They also say, you know, it's not like meat, but it's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make it taste like meat or be meat. I'm trying to give a healthy, interesting, different alternative.
That's an absolutely essential thing to notice. Is I think if you do try too hard to make it to if for want of a better word, fool somebody. Mm-hmm. If you're upfront and honest and you just offer them something tasty, and that does sound tasty. Now, I've got one question about the lentils. What kind of lentils do you use? Because there's the ones that are a little bit larger as opposed to what they call French lentils de Puy, which are smaller, greener, and tend to be a little bit firmer. So which one do you use?
I do use the larger one.
Okay. Great to know. That sounds amazing.
I can see
amazing.
That holding up for a better texture maybe, too, with those
Absolutely.
Big ones. Great idea, Morgan. It sounds good. I might give it a try. I'm dubious about the kids going for that, I'll be honest. We'll go to Al next in Elroy. Al, hi.
Hi. One of the things that I have is a recipe that's been handed down through, it's a great aunt, and that's using eggplant. And basically what you do is you take some celery and devein it and fry that up with a little butter, onions. You pre-boil the eggplant and you remove the seed and you take it out of the skin, mix it up, fry it a little. You have to be careful because it might burn. From there, you add like 5-6 pieces of the real squishy, icky bread that isn't really healthy for you. And I've tried it with other kinds. That usually works the best, but you can try some other ones too. And basically, you mix that up. You put it into a casserole dish. Cover it with some breadcrumbs of some sort, and you bake it until it's done, and it comes out sort of tasting like dressing, and you salt it and pepper to your taste.
So it ends up being a veggie dressing kind of casserole. I had mentioned eggplant earlier, Lori, and that's a good one for texture. It took me a while to like it, I'll be honest with you, but it does have a good chewy texture.
One of the things that I love in the summer is grilling eggplant outdoors. I think we end up eating about as much grilled eggplant as we do grilled steak. And I've never thought of boiling it. This is one that I tend to straight saute. And I'm interested that you have it not only peeled, but you take the seeds out. What is it about the seeds that doesn't work in your casserole?
It doesn't blend in well.
Okay.
It's the texture, I think.
All right.
Oh, interesting. Well, Al, thank you so much for sharing that one with
Absolutely.
Us. Absolutely. Well, just a few moments left, Lori. Based on the experiments you've done this time, what's the next vegetarian entree you might tackle?
I can't believe I forgot about the obvious. Ratatouille. This is the French dish of... Depending on whose recipe you're using, you either stew your vegetables or you can cook them a little bit roasted. Some cooks recommend you do them all together. Some cooks recommend you do them separately in layers. But if anybody saw the Pixar film in 2007, there is a perfect example of a simple dish prepared well was the star of the show. And this is one where you can leave the vegetables a little bit bigger. This is a great one to make with your kids because they can recognize all the individual vegetables. They can help you put this together, and they get to pretend that they're the chef, Remy the Rat. It's a great one to work with.
Awesome. Lori, thanks as always. That's WPR's Lori Skelton giving us some ideas for vegetarian meals in time for the Great American Meatout. And again, we've got a veggie lasagna. Find it on the Central Time Facebook page.